How does China plan to increase energy efficiency in its industrial sector? And where is Biden leasing land to fossil fuels now? Welcome to the Climate Recap from the Becosphere Climate Corner, your go-to place for international and U.S.-based climate news. I've missed you. I'm Becky Hoag, a science writer. Today is Tuesday, July 5th. Let's jump right into the news you need to start your day. Let's start with some extreme weather events. More than 150 flood evacuation orders have been made in New South Wales, particularly northwest Sydney, as 3 days of torrential rains might have caused the area to beat the flood records made earlier this year in March and April. According to the State Emergency Service, almost 150 rescues were made at the time of this recording, with over 5,300 calls for help. The Premier warns this crisis is far from over, as there's still a substantial risk of flash floods. Over in Asia, India and Bangladesh are on week 3 of torrential rains. Overall, about 240 people have died from floods since May 17th. A mudslide in northeast India just killed 14 people, with 30 still missing. Meanwhile, in Europe, 7 people died and 13 are missing in an avalanche when part of the Marmarota Glacier collapsed. Italy's prime minister has already declared this without a doubt connected to climate change. Italy has been going through a heat wave, and the glacier was reaching temperatures 10 degrees Celsius above average recently. And in the U.S., the Texan city of San Antonio had 17 days of triple-digit heat in June. Normally, they have 2 days at or above 100 degrees Fahrenheit in June, and they're back to reaching over 100-degree temperatures right now, which looks like it will continue for at least 9 days. This heat has been deadly. Last week, 53 Latin migrants were found dead in the back of a truck that reached 173 degrees Fahrenheit, or 78.3 degrees Celsius. They were likely being trafficked into the country. Such a tragedy. Okay, time for a climate study. A recent DNV report looked at the present and future of hydrogen power, which it says will play a small but important role in decarbonizing hard-to-electrify sectors. It seems like biofuels and hydrogen are mainly competing for this space. Right now, hydrogen only makes up about 0.5% of the global energy generation, and most of that comes in the form of gray or blue hydrogen, which is made as a byproduct of coal and gas energy generation. However, investments are ramping up for green hydrogen generation. The report foresees hydrogen in general reaching 5% of the energy supply by 2050. The researchers see blue hydrogen being prioritized first, representing 30% of hydrogen production by 2030. Green hydrogen will represent 72% of hydrogen production by 2050. That means 28% will still be made as a byproduct of fossil fuel production, according to the report. That's a lot. The reason why is how power-intense producing hydrogen off clean energy is. Powering enough electrolyzers to reach the capacity equivalent to 72% of 5% of the global energy generation would require twice as much clean energy than the world currently has installed. The study predicts that repurposing natural gas pipelines to pipe hydrogen costs 10 to 35% of the price of building a new one, and that over half of the hydrogen pipelines will be repurposed. Hydrogen will likely be transported mostly in the form of ammonia. Let's check out some climate victories. Research by the London School of Economics' Grantham Research Institute on Climate Change saw a surge in the number of climate lawsuits against fossil fuel companies over the past year. Most climate change-related lawsuits are made against states for inaction, but fossil fuel ones are growing in their ranks. Overall, they've more than doubled since 2015, with 2,002 in all, and about a quarter of them were made in the past 2 years. Growth seems to be everywhere but in the U.S. Lawsuits against food and agriculture, transport, plastics, and finance companies are growing as well. Over to Asia now, where China plans to cut industrial energy consumption per unit of output, or energy intensity, by 13.5% from 2021 to 2025. The plan would be carried out through the introduction of new technology, standards, and financial sectors. Energy intensity was already reduced by 6.5% last year, according to the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology. The industry sector currently accounts for 65% of overall national energy consumption, and simply improving efficiency can contribute to reducing China's overall emissions by 37% by 2050, according to the ministry. Some industries the plan will address are steel, non-ferrous metals, construction materials, and data centers. In Europe, a northern town in Sweden is undergoing a green revolution as H2 Green Steel's fossil-free steelworks project just began. This multi-billion-dollar project is trying to reduce CO2 emissions from the steelmaking process by about 90%. There's a massive effort right now to decarbonize state-run mines. Europe's first battery megafactory, called Northvolt ETT, is also located in that region, along with fossil-free fertilizer and aviation biofuel factories. This region is the jewel for Sweden's carbon neutral by 2045 goal. These factories are right next to other state-run utility and mining companies that have blackened the surrounding area in ash. They used coking coal to purify iron ore. The goal is for the factory to be run on hydrogen in the future. The government put $40 billion into the company Hybrids to make that happen. Over in South America, Colombia became the first nation in the Western Hemisphere to protect 30% of its oceans, banning fishing and oil exploration in those areas. That announcement was made by the country's outgoing president, fulfilling his promise made during COP26 with over 100 other countries to preserve 30% of their waters by 2030. The other part of that is 30% of their land by 2030. Less than 8% of the world's oceans are currently preserved. President Duque announced his country's increased emphasis on ocean preservation during the UN Ocean Conference in Portugal. The land preserved will be split into four zones. And in the United States, the White House announced that $700 million in private investments have been raised to spur electric vehicle charging infrastructure adoption. These investments are set to create more than 2,000 jobs and increase the domestic capacity to produce about 250,000 new EV charging stations a year. The biggest investor was Volkswagen, which announced it would invest $450 million. Volkswagen plans to surpass Tesla's EV sales by 2025. The other big investor in the project was Siemens, the largest industrial factory company in Europe, which said it would invest $250 million. Time for some climate fails. Mexico's President Obrador cut the ribbon on the country's largest oil refinery, even though it's still under construction until 2023. The Olmeca factory is owned by the state-run oil company Pemex and has gone billions of dollars over budget. This president has been criticized for supporting the construction of new fossil fuel projects, but the president insists it's providing energy independence. In the U.S., President Biden announced a new five-year offshore drilling plan 2 days after the ruling of West Virginia versus EPA. If you don't know about the Supreme Court case, I just did a video on that ruling and what it means for U.S. federal climate action and U.S. federal regulatory ability in general. So definitely check that out. That's why I didn't upload Friday's episode. But the bottom line is Biden's announcement was poor timing. Also, he said he'd stop drilling on public lands and waters when he was running for president. This new five-year policy goes against his promise by allowing the Interior Department to lease up to 11 oil and gas projects in the Pacific, Atlantic, and mainly the Gulf. But it reserves the department's right to not lease any sales. It's slightly a cop-out because he's basically giving the responsibility of fulfilling his promise to the department instead of dealing with it himself. But there's a chance Secretary Deb Haaland will not lease any spots. We'll have to keep an eye on this story. Biden had also recently announced new oil and gas lease sales on land last week, and this plan is now being sued by a coalition of 10 environmental groups. They are suing the administration about sales in Montana, Nevada, North Dakota, and Utah, arguing the new sales violate the Federal Land Policy and Management Act, in which the Interior Department must prevent unnecessary or undue degradation of federal lands. They argued these sales would cost billions in harm to the land, the water, air, wildlife, and public health. The plaintiffs include the Sierra Club and the Center for Biological Diversity. Let's end with a great piece of chemical news. California just passed the nation's toughest plastic pollution bill, which experts say might prevent 23 million tons of plastic pollution by 2032. Called the Plastic Pollution Producers Responsibility Act, it requires a 25% reduction in plastic packaging and foodware, both in weight and number of items, within the next 10 years. That way, the responsibility for reducing plastic waste is put on the producers instead of the consumers. The act also pledges California to achieve a 65% recycling rate for plastics by 2032 and requires all companies to make all of their single-use plastics to either be fully recyclable or compostable by that same year, and to contribute $500 million in total to a plastic mitigation fund. 60% of that will prioritize lower income and minority communities who have been disproportionately impacted by pollution. Plastic is made from fossil fuels, is produced using fossil fuels, and can combine with oil spills to make the problem worse. So those are three ways they're connected to climate change. And that was your climate news for Tuesday, July 5th. There's actually more climate news that happened from Friday till now that I didn't have time to cover, so check out my source list in the description box below for more. If you like the work I do, please follow this podcast, give it a 5-star rating, leave a review, and consider checking out the Becosphere Climate Corner YouTube channel. Remember to talk about the climate crisis every single day and to support your local news organizations. Bye for now.